Every ultimate experience Ireland has to offer is always within reach with a 182 BMW. The ultimate bowl of chowder, seasoned with Atlantic salt air, the ultimate swim spot, even the ultimate scenic shortcut that happily takes way, way longer. Experience the ultimate with a 24-hour test drive from your local BMW retailer. Because owning your new BMW is always within reach. Visit BMW182.ie.
Ladies and gentlemen, what's happening? It's Monday night, and welcome to Plum Love Foods Live. I am your host. My name is Chef Plum, and I am a father, I am a culinarian, and currently, I am the man with the microphone, which therefore, I am an expert at absolutely nothing. That's what I talk about. I'm an expert at telling jokes. No, I'm not an expert at that. I'm an expert at just having a good time. And being incredibly excited to be here with you guys tonight, man. It's going to be a great show. Thank you guys all for joining us here on Plum Love Foods Live. That's right. We are live on Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn FM, Smoke Signal, Carrier Pigeon, every single place you can find your podcast or your live digital internet radio. We are the number one show of its kind. And we are live right now tonight on a Monday night. It is April. What's the date? It is April 17th, 10 p.m. on the East Coast. 7 p.m. on the West Coast. And dude, we're having a good time. I'm telling you what, I can't wait. I'm very excited to be here. I'm very excited to be talking to you guys tonight, man. It's going to be a lot of fun because tonight, I don't know if you've heard the news. We've got Guy Fieri on tonight, you guys. Guy Fieri is going to call in here at about 10:15, and we're going to chat with him a little bit about chef stuff. How about that? Chef stuff. Everybody talks to the man about TV and Food Network, and we'll touch that a little bit, but we're going to be talking way more about chef stuff. So looking forward to that because I know he's a great guy. I was on one of his shows. I'm sure he remembers me. Nudge, nudge, give me those ribs, you. Not totally sure about that, but, you know, we'll see how it goes, man. It should be a great conversation. I'm looking forward to talking to him. Big. I turned the music off so I can tell him a big thank you. Big thank you to my friends, my personal friends, Mike and Scott over at Ergo Chef. They helped set this up today, and it would only be fair that if I brought them on. So I tell you what, in your lifetime, you meet a few people who you know are great human beings and good friends, and these guys have done a lot for me and my career and what I've done. Ladies and gentlemen, Mike and Scott from Ergo Chef, they're going to join me right now. What's up, gentlemen? How are you?
Hey, what's
good,
up,
Chef? How you doing, Plum?
I am good, man. It's going to be a lot of fun. Mike, I just sent you a text because we have a phone bank full of phone calls, and I got to know which one to go to.
Oh, check it out. Hang on.
Yeah. Dude, what a great setup for you guys, man. I really appreciate it. Scotty, I know you just found out about this happening, but your brother's been trying to help you make this happen for a while, and you guys have spent some time together, Ergo Chef and Guy Fieri, right?
Yeah, we did, and we had a lot of fun doing some pretty badass knives with Guy, and a lot of guys input went into those knives, and I think they were, they spoke for themselves. They were pretty unique and really high quality knives that we do. So it was pretty cool. Yeah.
I don't know if you guys make a low quality knife. You know, you guys seem to make amazing knives with everything you do. That's for sure.
Yeah, you know, one thing, You know, one thing I remember just about Guy and his whole team, man, they're just on point with everything. I mean, it helped. I think he brought the best of everybody out because just their high expectations and drive and encouragement in everything they did, it made you better. And it was I just got the best vibe from his whole team. They just really bring it to the table. They are 110%. They are go big or go home, and he's still got that aura. He's still got that great personality, great friend, and you know, you don't meet a lot of people in that arena that are like that on a continual basis.
No, definitely
they start off like that, but then they just fade out, or they close down, or they're just different, but. No way, man. The guy is tried and true.
Well, that's amazing because you meet people like that, you know, to meet people like that and keep friends with them and be able to maintain a relationship, especially, I mean, this guy, I mean, you just don't get much bigger in the food world than this guy right here. I mean, especially in the food entertainment sector. So I'm excited to talk to him, but we're going to keep this conversation focused a little bit differently than a lot of his other interviews he's probably done. We're going to talk a lot of food.
Yeah.
We're going to talk a lot of business. We're going to talk a lot about the culinary industry because that's what this show is about, what we gear towards. Everyone asks the guy about taking a trip down to Flavortown and Triple D and all that. And that's all of great stuff. I'm sure we'll touch on it briefly, but rest assured, ladies and gentlemen, and we have a pretty big audience listening live tonight. I've gotten a ton of messages, and we're going to focus this on what we focus every single one of these episodes on. And it's about the industry. It's about the cook. It's about the chef. It's about people and what we do as chefs. We cook food. We provide sustenance for people. And that's what we're going to talk about, even with the gentleman, the stature of Guy Fieri, because I promise you, he feels the same way we all do.
Absolutely. You know, this weekend is funny. We're talking food is what brings families together, right? You're at a table, you gather, you eat, you love. You got to love that the atmosphere. But what you bring to the table is also makes it so either really great, a great experience, or it can be a little downer too. I remember having some nasty meals as a kid. No, not really. My mom was an awesome cook, but we had this weekend. Someone brought over some ribs, and I had 2 hours to cook ribs on the grill, and I was like, oh no, these are gonna be awful, and miraculously they came out really good. And it was all in that last hour wrap. The first hour open non-direct heat. And the last hour, they were wrapped up in foil, and they actually came out tender. They were nice, big, whole pork ribs. They weren't baby back ribs. They had a lot of good, nice marbles. They ate a little fat on them, but a lot of good meat. And they,
starving.
Oh, man, they cooked up. They worked. I couldn't believe it. I was like, all right, this is good.
God, have you got any more of them ribs back there? Man, I'm starving. Mike said he had some ribs. You got any more of them back there? Are we all out?
I cooked prime rib yesterday for 3 hours, and there's only a little bit left.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, this is a weird episode to go into this week. I spent last week sitting on a balcony in Florida chatting with my mentor, Chef Lonnie, who one of my favorite people in the world. If you guys haven't checked that show out, you should. God, he dropped so much knowledge. He dropped an amazing hashtag. We call it hashtag. For him, he calls it just, you know, it's how he runs his kitchen. And he's talking about how he, whenever he goes to a new resort, he always tells people he trains to retain. And I love that. That's like an amazing thing to say. And I got a feeling Guy Fieri probably feels very similar to that. You know, you got to train these people to be able to do their job and do it well, but make them feel appreciated in the process. Because when you have a career like a gentleman like this has, he's pulled in 957 directions. So you got to have people you can depend on.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's why
I'm not going to take a bunch of phone calls tonight, you guys.
Yeah.
You know, I just got to get it out there because the phone bank is just lit. I'm not going to take a bunch of phone calls tonight, guys, because you just never know what you're going to get. And, you know, this is our first time having Guy on. We don't want to bombard him with stuff. And, you know, we'll keep it simple. Don't worry. But there's somebody I want to bring on really quick because to talk to Mike and Scott, actually. He recently acquired himself a Ergo Chef knife. And he loves it dearly. He's one of the most positive chefs you'll ever meet on the entire planet. A great guy down in South Carolina. Everybody knows him and loves him. Chef's Couture is the one and only Mr. Kevin Levine. Brother, how are you tonight?
I'm doing absolutely amazing. How are you guys doing?
We are
good,
doing well.
Man.
I got
good,
Mike.
Chef.
I got Mike and Scotty on.
What's going on, boys?
How are you, Sean?
Just chilling, sipping on a Sam Adams.
Yeah, I'm getting ready to crack open a Mick Ultra.
There you go.
All right.
Awesome. Hey, how's that knife treating you? Is it holding up good?
Is it holding up? Oh my God, dude! I gotta tell you, like on a serious, no bullshit. I was telling Plum, this knife, I have not touched one other knife in my kitchen since I got it 2.5 weeks ago.
Where have you got?
Awesome.
I'm telling you, because, and listen, I cook from 8 o'clock in the morning. My table just left. We close at 9 o'clock. I'm still here in the kitchen, and you can drop this motherfucker. It's made amazing. The edge on it stays sharp, dude. It's my 100% go-to knife.
Told you, brother.
Glad.
And you guys have what he just said. This is the one knife I use. I haven't touched any other knives. Where have you heard that before?
Yeah, Jeff Plum. Yeah, all right,
same one.
Is that the same one? Seven in Santoku. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great knife. You got to check it out.
It's like, you know, you can spend, like I was telling Plum the other day, people spend, you know, $400, $500, $600, $700 for knives, and they're in their knife roll, and they look pretty, and they're scared. Oh my God, it's gonna get cracked, or the point's gonna break off. I better not use it. Dude, why are you gonna fucking buy a knife that doesn't, you know, you're in the trenches. You want a knife that holds up to, you know, doing 240 covers from scratch and cutting your mirror claw every single morning. And dude, your knife, I'm telling you, your knives do it. So thank you very much.
Got a believer,
your knives do it.
Oh,
thanks, brother.
Thank you.
Thanks, man.
There you go. I think you got to believe it right there. That's my man, the one only chef, Kevin Levine, down there in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. He's a great dude. We're going to plan a cool event this summer. Looking forward to it. Chef, hope you enjoy the program. Dude, you check out this show on a weekly basis. Bro, we got Guy Fieri on tonight. How crazy is that?
Dude, I'm so stoked for you. This is going to be a show. I actually just went live on Instagram like at 9:57. And all I was doing, go to Chef Plum. He's got Guy Fieri on. So hopefully we'll get some more listeners. I mean, you know, it's like you guys said, it's about family. It's about food. It's about, you know, you can be a celebrity, but you know what? It is about the passion of the food. It's about eating together. It's about forming memories. And that's what food is about. So I'm really excited about this, this interview.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah,
all right,
hit
Chef,
it.
Look.
You hit it on the head.
You definitely did. Yep. We're going to catch you on down the road here. Do you mean to put you on hold so you listen, or are you listening through the phone? What do you want me to do?
I'm going to listen through the phone because I'm still here. I got my headset on.
All right, so I'll go ahead and put you on hold so you can hear it that way. Cool?
Sounds good. You guys have fun.
All right. There he goes.
Thanks,
that's
man.
Chef Scatori.
Thanks.
I told you, man, listen, you're not going to find a more positive guy than that. How cool is that guy?
Yeah, he's a good guy. Absolutely,
really
man.
Good guy.
He's rocking it down there too, huh? His restaurant's cranking.
He calls me or texts me every day. He's like, I just got my ass handed to me. But you know, you look at a guy like that. That's the guys you want. Those are the guys you want to be a part of, you want in your life. Listen to that. You heard his whole time he's talking. You're not gonna find a more positive guy than that. And he did nothing but get his ass handed to him all day today, which by the way is his day off. He got his ass handed to him. And that's what he does. And he's still positive. And so I mean that's those are the people you want in your life, guys like that.
Mm-hmm.
Especially
you
in
need,
business.
Man. You need positive.
Yeah.
You need positive. Negative's got to go out the door.
110%. 110%, man. I couldn't agree more. You find positive guys like that. You surround yourself with them. You get them in your life. And you hope that, you know, you add a little positivity to their life as well. Because they come on board. They can 100% change your mentality and put you in a better spot for the entire day. Having a guy like that makes me happy to call him a friend. I'm excited to have him there. I'm excited to have him using one of your knives because these are the people, dude, he'll get on there every day and post a picture of the damn knife, which is amazing.
Oh, that's crazy. Yeah, now what about pictures in the kitchen when you're working though? I heard something about last week you were saying no pictures when the line is being set and when we're service is on, you keep that camera in your pocket.
That's the time. He was like, time. Yeah.
It's like, leave me alone. We got to get this done. Dude. Do it right. Put that camera away, man.
We're trying to put food out. Like, stop taking pictures during service. All right. You're making me sweat already. Just bringing it back up, Mike. You're making me sweat already.
Well, I came back there. I'm like, are you taking? I came back there and I said, are you taking pictures? And it was such a great. I mean, the plating was awesome. Everything was great about that dinner, man. You just nailed it. And
thanks, man.
I said, I got to capture some of these photos before I devour them. Cause once it gets to the table, I just start digging in and that's my issue. I didn't take pictures beforehand. My cousin D did pretty good though. Darren took a few pictures before he started eating it, but it was, that was a great pop-up, man.
It was awesome. Yeah,
thanks again for that.
Man. Thank you.
Yeah. That was
thank you very, very much. And Mike, check your text messages really quick. And Scott, I just want to ask you, man, You see food like that come to your table and you look at it and you see it come out there. Are you a picture guy? Do you want to take pictures right away of the food like that?
Do I? No. I don't usually do that.
No.
No, I don't know. I'm not a crazy camera person, I guess, you know, but I look at it. I'm more figuring out how you put it together. Because of my background, you know, I'm not going to jump to the camera right away and do that. So I kind of try to dissect it and see how you got it to the plate. You know what I mean?
I agree.
From being
I couldn't
chef,
agree more.
You know,
it's amazing how many people want to take pictures of the food right then and there. So gentlemen, that time has come. And I think it's time to bring on our guest this evening. I'm hoping I got the right area code here. It's the right number. Mike, if you could double check for me and make sure. It's one of those things. I think every generation, especially in this world, this culinary world, has its people you call icons. And everyone it's unbelievable because you can look all over the place and see different people who could be considered that. I mean, even going down, you could think, you know, Emeril Lagasse, Marco Pierre White, there's icons. And I think in this generation that we have right now, I think that the person that I'm going to bring on the phone falls in that category for me, pretty plain and simple. The one and only... Mr. Guy Fieri.
Well,
I'm going to play a quick tune, and we're going to double check here to see. Oh, here we go. There we go. Let's try this one more time. Let's do this intro one more time. Listen, I think every generation, of course, now we're all set up. I see what the problem was. We got it all taken care of and fixed. Every generation has people that you can consider from a culinary standpoint, your icons. You look at the world that we come from a culinary world. You have people.
Yes, I am.
Chef, how
are
you?
Hey, Guy.
I'm good. I'm good. How are you guys?
We are good, Guy. I've got Mike and Scott with me from Ergo Chef hanging out. Chef Flom, nice to talk to you again, brother. Hope you're having a great night. We appreciate a few minutes this evening, man. I hope you're having a great night.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, when you have the Ergo Chef boys on your payroll or whatever you've got over on them, if they're calling me to come on, I mean, I don't know what kind of black magic is going on, but those boys say call in. I call in.
It's definitely voodoo, Jeff. It's definitely
voodoo.
Oh,
brother, you see that? You see that friendship? I mean, Guy, you were a class act, man. You're just on point all the time. So I appreciate it, man, for being here. And
brothers, I don't forget where I came from. We were doing incredible knives years ago, and matter of fact, I just got back from a trip. I was shooting in Maui. I just got back, and what was sitting there on my doorstep but a nice gift from my brothers from Ergo Chef, and a fantastic blade, by the way. I don't know what that new one is, that new Japanese blade you made, but oh, that thing.
That Shinzui.
This isn't an infomercial, but that thing is rocking, man. That is definitely one of the best I've seen you do.
Glad to like it, man. Thanks. I'm glad. Yeah. Happy belated birthday.
Oh, listen, you missed a bunch of them. Keep sending stuff.
Oh, Shoot.
I think there's a few other holidays. You missed Easter. I mean, just – I can – listen, I'll just send you a list. You just started setting the knives. I didn't – I mean, that thing is – and the – And the pit master knife. Nice stuff, man. Good job on you guys' part.
Cool. Thanks, brother.
Thanks, guy.
Yeah, man. I tell you what, guy, it's one of those things. The Ergo Chef boys, they're making amazing knives. They're knives I use every single day, and they're fantastic at taking a beating. And like you said, brother, we're not making an infomercial here, but I just don't. I talk about them all the time. They're great knives made by even better human beings. So I definitely appreciate the boys helping make this happen tonight.
Yeah, you're welcome,
you know,
brother.
The
hey, thank
you. You know the good human beings that make those knives?
Yes, sir.
Oh, the Ergo boys. Oh, the Ergo guys.
Oh, the Ergo.
Take me a second. You know, there's a time delay here in California, so I didn't know exactly. Okay, yeah, those guys are great guys. You're right. Okay. I'm here. Mr. Potato.
There you go.
Oh, no.
There you go, man. I knew it was coming.
Are we talking about Mr. Knife and Mr. Potato? Is that coming up right now? We'll move on to another
one. Oh, boy. Potato. This sounds like a good story.
Yeah, it does. That's a story for another time, I think. I don't know. That was a good one. That was in the middle of an IHA show. We were at the International Houseware Show introducing his line to the United States I think it was naval bases and army bases, and that came up. I'm like, oh man, Mr. Knife and Mr. Potato.
Played through it.
Yeah, we did. That was good.
The outfits on and run around the knife show and stuff. It was awesome.
That was awesome.
That's funny. That's funny, man. So, guy, man, I got to ask you, brother. Obviously, right off the bat, I just have to, and if I don't, I'm gonna get crucified, man. I was episode 2. Season 1 Guys Grocery Games winner. Not sure if you remember, I'm the guy who shot the basket as the cart went flying along at the end when I was running to catch all my money.
Yes, we actually still are going to bill you for the dent in the basket. So I don't know that you see that you've been moving several times and keep getting said, you know, not the sender does not live here or something like that. So I don't
it's
know
easy.
Which trailer park we keep mailing that to, but we'll find
Ouch.
You one of these days.
Hey, do me a favor. Just shoot it over to the Ergo Chef boys. They'll handle it for me, brother. That's all we got to do.
Oh, listen, do you think I want to get paid in rare coins and beads and glass pellets and all these other random things? No, don't do business like that. That's not.
That's funny. Dude, so listen, I wanted to ask you, man. So you are an incredibly busy human being. And on this show, we talk really real chef talk here, man. How do you balance everything you do and owning restaurants? How do you pull all that together? Because I can't, I mean, even just to even breathe, you've got to almost schedule it.
I see you, Delphine. Well, I'll tell you what it is. You surround yourself with great people. I mean, that's the most important thing. And you, just as we multitask in the kitchen, you have to be, matter of fact, multitasking is probably what has done the most for me, besides having great people. I mean, first and foremost, having great people, having a great wife, having a great family, having great buddies, having great, you know, team members, you know, that work inside a knuckle sandwich. But for me personally, it's just multitasking. So while I've been speaking to you, I've fed my dogs and I'm making ramen for the family. So I'm making a big ramen right now. So I'm skimming as we're talking. So, I mean, and that's the thing, but that makes me more comfortable. When I'm in here doing stuff, that makes me that I can do things, you know, that I can work and talk. If I just try to sit there and think about something, it doesn't work. So I think that's it. I think that as chefs, what we do great is we multitask. You got to be running a lot of things in a kitchen at one time to make it happen.
Yeah.
And that happens to be something I do really well. I don't sit down very good.
Well, it sounds like you definitely are a multitasker. For what it's worth, chef, I'm a multitasker too. I just finished my first glass of wine for the evening, so I'm multitasking as well.
Sounds like you guys have had more than that, but that's good.
I just got home from work, brother. Just one so far, but trust me, the night's still young.
Just one, officer. I promise you, just one box of wine. Just one little bit.
I could do the alphabet backwards. I can do it. Just give me a second. I'll figure it out. Hey, let me ask you this, man. So,
go ahead.
In this world, it's amazing. I do a lot of private chef work and for some clientele and whatnot that are of the higher end variety, which I'm sure you're very familiar with. It's interesting how often I get asked about my social media following, man. Are you seeing that becoming a thing even in the restaurants, like even in your restaurants? Are you seeing that like kind of become more of a thing where we want to post pictures, we want to talk more about it, almost more as a marketing tool?
Well, you're talking about from the guest perspective or from our business perspective?
Business perspective, I mean, chef perspective.
Oh, from both of them. I mean, yeah, I mean, it's to me, you, I mean, I just was shooting a food truck out in Maui, this phenomenal place called Maui Fish Streetery is what it was called.
Nice.
I couldn't tell you, I just nice. Told you a place that we haven't even heard yet, but it was this outstanding place. And I said to the guy, you know, how you advertising, how you marketing, how do you keep up with it? And he says, man, it's all social media. That's all we're doing. He says, we're not in the same place, you know, in the same day. So we're moving around. And I said, well, you know, how do people keep up? And that's pretty much the going common theme with folks in the food truck business. But I think even the restaurants are starting to catch on to it, that it's, you know, sending out the pictures, sending out the guest comments, having guests, you know, send their social media out about what they're seeing and doing. But yeah, I'll tell you something, it's a hell of a lot cheaper in advertising than it was back in the day with print advertising and radio advertising and you know, in TV advertising that we all had to go through and battle through in the 80s and 90s. I mean, this social media thing makes it, you know, but you can live and die by it. You know, there's a lot of people that are, you know, getting beat up on sites about it as well. But for the overall, I think it's a positive.
Man, I think you're so right about that, because it's just social media is just the way the world is going with everything these days. And it just seems like even in our business, social media is just playing such an integral part in it, especially even with doing TV things. It's just such a big part of doing the entire, the whole scenario. It's just, it all kind of comes together, especially with things like Instagram and Facebook and whatnot. Man, I couldn't agree more. It's crazy. But it is nuts when a private client asks you what your social media following is. Don't you think, Chef? That's a little bit crazy.
I think people are tuned in. I think they start to recognize popularity through numbers, even though there's some shenanigans behind all the numbers sometimes. But you know, for the most part, I think that everybody's starting to dial into it.
Yeah. I think you're totally right about that, man. I mean, it's just, it's crazy. I don't know. It blew me away. I've been doing private clients for a long time. It just blew me away when someone asked me that. I'm like, that's a serious question. Like, really? And I mean, it's funny. I mean, everybody, even our guys from industry here are chiming in and saying it's all about social media networks. And that's what it comes down to. That's exactly what it comes down to, man. So, Chef, from a culinary standpoint, what do you think is the most important skill, especially for a young chef to learn, or someone young coming up in the business? What do you think is like the most important thing that they can learn?
You know, I don't know. I think taste. I mean, I think just having the understanding of what things taste like, you know, having just having a portfolio of flavors and understanding how things work together. I mean, I taste so many dishes, you know, worldwide. And I really think that a tremendous amount of them are improperly seasoned or poorly seasoned. And I'm not just saying salt. I'm just saying looking at what's available and how things can, you know, too much of something, too little of something. So I think having that balance, I think having that ability to taste food and to be able to prescribe what, I mean, that just takes time. It just takes time to understand it and to trust yourself and to know how flavors grow and how flavors compound each other. And you know, I think all of those components come. Yeah, I think that's it. I mean, if I were going to tell somebody right now, they said, hey, I want to be a chef, what do I do? I'd say pick up that knife and start, you know, make that your tennis racket, make that your golf club, make that your an extension of yourself. You know, knife skills are tremendously, tremendously important.
Yeah.
Again, sounds like we're doing the Ergo Chef knife commercial, but I think that knife skills, what slows you down in the kitchen is not being able to do your mise en place correctly. What creates inconsistency in dishes, knife skills, butchering skills, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I think, you know, overall, what's my real big dream of, you know, would be my best recommendation is just continue to build that skill and knowledge of flavor. But in a quick, immediate, I want to get started tonight, get your knife skills tight.
Right, which is, it's amazing. And you're right, because I think knife skills are really important. I'm actually doing a cooking class with our friends over there, Mike and Scott at Ergo Chef, talking about knife skills, Chef. That's what we're all talking about. I'm going to teach the world how to brunoise, Chef. Yeah. That's the plan.
You know what? And a sharp knife is the key ingredient to getting that done. And, you know, it's not just a knife that's sharp out of the box. Most of them are sharp out of the box, as they should be. But
right.
It's the knife that will hold its edge. And, you know, that's what – and again, here goes the Ergo. Get ready, ladies and gentlemen. The Ergo Chef commercial starting now. But that's the reason – I mean, honestly, that's the reason I called in. I love these guys. I love what they do. I love this entrepreneurship, this – you know, these brothers coming together, making stuff happen, and working hard. I mean, these guys are in touch with their equipment every day. And they – I mean, I remember when we were doing business – if there was a warranty question, they handled it personally. I mean, when you're talking about what's a fundamental key to a young chef or to any chef, it's having a great knife that'll hold a great edge. It'll do it. And again, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not being paid for this. Trust me. I don't know why this is sounding like an infomercial. I think you guys are setting me up with these guys.
We better stop. No, don't say anything more about knives. That's enough knife talk.
I'm not saying anything
That's it. Mr. Knife,
all right.
You want to hear more about knives and skills next weekend, Ergo Chef. We're going to do Tuesday night. That's the Chef Knife Skills class. That's it. Yep.
Perfect. So, Chef,
all right, go ahead, boys.
From a weird standpoint, Chef, it's a question that I just, you know, from a gentleman of your stature and what you do and all of your restaurants and your experience,
don't use words like gentleman and stature. That's way
out. I can't help it. You're right. From a dude like you who's been in the business for as long and you know, you have the restaurants that you have and you've done the business that you've done. And again, like I said, brother, this show is about the chefs. It's about the culinary. It's about the cook. It's about the food. I think that the talent coming out now that we have access to bring with us to work for us is much different than it was from 10, 15 years ago. Have you seen that at all in the restaurants or just, you know, even going out and around the country? I mean, you everywhere.
The culinary talent or the...
Yes, sir. Like the culinary talent, like the talent. The guys working in kitchens, you know, the chefs, the cooks, everybody else. Is it a different... Please.
It's night and day. I mean, well, I shouldn't say it's night and day. No, I would say it's vastly different.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, first I'll just start with the education of the consumer. You know, the guests. You know, guests that have been going to... that have been eating fine dining and have had a chance to try the world and have the you know, the income and the opportunity to experience all the great foods from all the great chefs, I think, you know, have had an opportunity to really understand and get a chance to develop their, you know, their palate. Not everybody's had that, but as this food revolution has been happening in this last 15 years, and I'll credit a tremendous amount of that to the Food Network in particular. Consumers become educated. So maybe somebody hasn't had a chance to go eat that particular style of food or that particular chef or in that particular city. They've started to learn about it. And then when they venture out and they go on vacation, they, you know, maybe they make that a quest. You know, I know they do it for Triple D as they go and try these funky joints that I go to. So in general, I think that everybody's got a much greater perspective and eye on the ball when it comes to great food. Now, on top of it, you take a bunch of these young folks and old folks and anybody that's, you know, looking for a career in the industry, and they go off to culinary school and they get a really good opportunity to understand the various facets of the business. That's and I say to understand, to get a beginning in them, because truly the expertise in it or the development is time, you know, time and experience.
Sure.
You know, is always going to prevail. And so do I see great things? Oh, yeah. I mean, I'd love to see how many Whole Foods are opening. I don't. I mean, the Whole Foods is, you know, it's expensive for most folks. But I love the fact that organics are becoming so readily available and people are talking about farm to table and people are starting to look at, you know, how, where did their food come from? And people are starting to get into this antibiotic, you know, hormone-free, air-chilled chicken, you know, and you start to see all this happening. So it's... Yeah, I mean, it's alive and well, and sometimes it's overdone in some directions, in some ways, in other ways, but I think for the overall, no, we haven't been in this good of a position in
decades. I mean, this is really a bright time for us, and I'm happy to see that you can walk into a Whole. I just went to the gym and went to Whole Foods this morning and got a beet juice. You know, and where could you tell anybody 10 years ago, unless you were in a really organic, you know, food centric city, you know, like a metro, and be able to get a juice like that, you know, that was made right in front of you, that's not pasteurized, you know, that kind of stuff. So, yeah. It's happening. It's a big change and much needed.
I feel like everything's different now. Guy Fieri just told me he's drinking beet juice. I think the world just changed for me. Everything's different. Like, I don't know if everything's the same anymore.
Everything.
Unfortunately, most people only know me from Triple D. I mean, Scott and Mike know me and know who I am and have been to my house. And I mean, I'm a very, we have a huge, two huge organic gardens. We buy and, you know, we shop organic. I mean, I'm a veggie junkie like you've never, I mean, I've got on the cutting board right now, onions, carrots, red bells, asparagus, artichokes, green onions, and celery all ready to go into this pho/ramen that I'm making. So, and we love, I mean, that's what my family, you know, we all crave veggies. And of course, there's a little chicken in there for Ryder. But no, you know, people always want to think that I'm a diet of chili dogs and pizza nachos. And, you know, those are always nice once in a while. But no, it's, I'm a veggie junkie.
Well, dude, it brings up a good point. Something that, you know, from a gentleman like yourself, I mean, from a guy like you, I mean, dude, you're everywhere. You go all over the place. I mean, tell me, what's more important, chef? Is buying local more important, or is it more important to get that organic tag on your food? What do you think matters more?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't even say it's buying local or does it have an organic tag, because typically if you're buying local, you are buying organic. I mean, that is most of these folks that are going to the time and trouble to make organic food, to grow organic food, are also taking the time, or to grow food, are taking the time to do it organically. I mean, we have we just built a new garden up on our ranch. It's a 1 acre garden. We did 42 fruit trees and we did 20 planter boxes that are 20 feet long by 5 feet wide. And at raised beds. And we took all the time and energy to build the soil, to really take the time to put the irrigation in correctly, to do all these factors, and to go ahead and put the right plants and the right fencing and everything, so we can do this right and do this and grow organic. And yes, you don't get the yield. And yes, you do have loss. And yes, you do have bugs. And that's all the natural process that's supposed to be happening. So back to the question, what would I rather have? Well, I think that they're hand in hand. I think that when you're buying local, you are buying organic. My thing is if you're not having the opportunity to buy local, if you're in a big city, is to buy seasonally. You know, that's one of the things we have to remember, is that, you know, we all love to have what we want to have when we want to have it. But the truth of it is if you're not buying it in season in the area that you're in, most likely it's coming from somewhere else. And now we're getting into this carbon footprint piece. So, you know, there's a lot of discussion and a lot of opinions that go on with it. I always just say this: take care of yourself, eat good food, eat it in moderation. You know, that's the other thing. I'm not saying don't eat food that you love. I'm not saying don't eat pizza. I'm just saying eat pizza in moderation. And if you're going to eat pizza, eat really goddamn great pizza. You know, don't eat crap frozen cardboard pizza. You know, so it's moderation. My mom's the example. My mom's 71 years old, rides her cycle bike 150 miles a week, and eats and drinks whatever she wants, since she's a tiny little thing. And she just says, you know, people ask her all the time, how do you do it? She says, moderation. That's the key.
Wow. Chef, I was just in Florida on vacation with my wife, who is my wife's a 10. I'm a 4.5. So I had my wife and my 3 kids. And I drink 40 beers in 2.5 days. I have a feeling that's probably not moderate.
40 beers in how many days? A day and a half?
2.5, chef. 2.5. 2.5.
40 beers in 2.5 days? You must have one hell of an exercise program, my brother. And I imagine you don't drink light beer. I imagine you're one of those dudes that's drinking those really robust, hearty 2 beers, and I would be asleep. But I like the way you roll, man. I like it. And your wife's there for you. Go for it.
That's right. I'm not, chef. I'm a light beer guy. But I was like, huh? It's Florida. I'm on vacation. It's daylight. I'll have a beverage. Why not? That's what I did. And so now I'm doing But chef, I'm doing a month clean now. That's the plan. I'm doing a month clean, nothing else. So listen, I know how hard you've worked and how long you've been the businessman, and Food Network Star was an amazing thing for you. I hope to one day be able to tell you my Food Network Star story, because you would laugh tremendously if you heard it. Not in a bad way. I'm just saying, don't worry, not in a bad way. But life before Food Network Star, man, what was going on with you? I mean, obviously the restaurant and whatnot, but what was happening? Like, what happened before Food Network Star with Guy Fieri?
I had a normal life. Oh, you'd love that. You know, I'll tell you what happened. It was my buddy and I had, what was it at the time? 5 restaurants at the time, up here in Northern California. And we're doing really well. I mean, great. 2 guys and 5 restaurants and a lot of business. And we had a concept called Johnny Garlic's, one called Tex Wasabi's. I recently sold, well, not recently, almost 2.5 years ago now, sold those restaurants to my business partner to let him kind of take them and go the direction he wanted to go, as I was spending a lot of time with my restaurants in, you know, out of country and out of city and out of this area. So felt it was, you know, we had done it together and he needed his own shot, his own run at things. So he did, and power to him. But that's what we were doing, man. Restaurants. So Hunter, my oldest, was 9.5. Ryder, our little guy, who's 11 now, 11.5 now. He was. We were pregnant with him, and it was just, it was a crazy life as it was. You know, living up here in the wine country, and the Food Network situation, the opportunity, you call it, was kind of a fluke. And I remember when I came back from winning the show and sat there and had a meeting with my business partner and a couple of team members. And he looked at me and said, so, I mean, now what's going to happen to me? Who's going to run the restaurant? I'm like, what do you mean who's going to run the restaurant? He goes, well, now that you're going to be this TV star, what are you going to do? I'm not going to be. He said, are you kidding me? I said, I got a little show. I said, they've got everybody they need. They don't need me. I mean, trust me, they got all kinds of stars. You know, because I'd met everybody and they were all great. And go look at that. What, 11 years? Seems like 25 years, but 11 years later, look where we're at. So, yeah. It's I wouldn't change anything. You know, it's been, there's been goods and bads, and a lot of learning and a lot of hills to climb. But, you know, if you're, I say this to people all the time, the only thing that will ever prepare you for the TV business is the restaurant business, because it takes that kind of stamina and dedication, and you got to love what you're doing. I mean, I really enjoy it. The TV side is really fun. Chefing and running restaurants and developing recipes and writing, and my wife and I laugh because she knows what my end game is. My end game is my little restaurant in Mexico, where on the days that I'm open, I just open the door and put the flag out, you know, on the wall, and people, we're open. There's no menu. You just come in. Whatever I'm cooking today is what we're gonna, you know, is what's available. And very similar guy. I go to a lot of, you know, small town restaurants in Europe and in Italy, or in Mexico, and that's just the way it's gonna be. And so that'll be my final role is just doing a small restaurant that's just me and whatever little town I live in.
Chef, I tell my wife all the time. Yeah, we should just go open a taco stand on the beach and call it a day. If you want to come down with me, we can make it happen. I'll make room for you if you want to do it.
At the end of Shawshank Redemption, wherever that shot was, I think that I should have the taco stand right behind that boat.
So there you go. So, Chef, really quick, man. So we're getting Twitter questions all over the place, man. My good friends over at Industry, that's at The Industry on Twitter. They want to know, who was your biggest source of inspiration or mentor when you were younger, and who inspires you today? I think that's a great question.
Wow. You know, my dad is my Superman. My dad is, and it sounds so cliche, you know, and for most people, I'm fortunate to have, a dad that I, like I do, both my parents actually. And, he's my right-hand man. I mean, he's taught me everything. And now we're kind of at the point where we're learning things together. And, you know, he's my favorite person to spend time with, him and my whole family. But he was the one that, you know, he was the one that said, you can do anything you want to do. Just got to try hard. And, yeah. I was an exchange student when I was 16 and went to Europe. And I didn't speak, and I went to France, and I didn't speak French. My dad, my parents just said, yeah, okay, you can figure it out, you know, just go. And so I lived in a boarding house and not even a real exchange program because I didn't speak the language, you know. So I had just these parents that had such an incredible imagination about how opportunistic and how fruitful the world was. And so that's been the way I try to raise my sons. And today's inspiration, you know what? I just look at this food revolution and I look at all these great chefs. You know, that's one of the reasons I do Guys Grocery Games. And it's the reason I do Triple D.
Yeah.
There's so many great chefs like yourself, Champ, that don't get the spotlight.
You just call me Champ.
Yeah.
You just call me Champ.
You won. You're the champ.
Champ.
You know, champ. And that's the reason is that it's everybody collectively participating in this revolution of food. I mean, we got so far off base back in the mid 80s, early 90s, with all the processed food and all the things you're going, we were going sideways. And now look at the repercussions, you know, and we're facing, and it's terrible. And we've got kids' lunches that are garbage and just on and on and on. But so who am I impressed by? I'm impressed by everybody that's in the game right now. You know, it's doing the, my assistant said, she goes, you're making dinner, you're going to do an interview at 7:15 at night. I said, well, one, it's Ergo Boys, but two, it's you taking the time out of your schedule and the things you have going on to put together a podcast that's informing people, the industry people, the people that are interested in the industry, you know, and we're talking about this common denominator of people. And your quote that you wrote there in your bio, that, you know, we should take the time to give food the recognition that it deserves. And that's really what, you know, that's what this is all about. So I'm just impressed with anybody that's in the game, baby. Anybody from the people that are growing it, to the people that are selling it, to the people that are cooking it, to the people that are enjoying it, to the people that are recognizing it. You know, that's the truth. That's what we're all in here for. And we'll turn this around and we'll make a better planet and make a better, we'll be in a healthier state if we all just stay focused on this trajectory that we're in.
Wow. That means a lot, Chef. I appreciate you acknowledging that and saying that. Thank you. But I think you're right, man. I think that the interest in the culinary business is bigger than probably it's ever been, ever. And it's thanks to things that what you do and what Food Network is doing. And it's amazing because it's giving everybody that little extra bit of knowledge to know, you know, just understand what they're eating, to look at their food and think about it, to think about where the food comes from, to think about where the farmer who got up that morning to grow that food, to cultivate that food, to harvest it. Like, what the things that you do on your shows help people realize that. And I thank you for that, because I think that is what keeps guys like me in business and guys like Chef Kevin Levine in business and chefs all over the country. It keeps them in business. And speaking of Chef Kevin Levine, Chef, I got one, just to hit you with one more. He runs an incredible company called Hoplox. They make amazing cutting boards, made from scratch. This guy works all day long and then goes into a shop at night and builds cutting boards for chefs. And it's unbelievable. It's just crazy. He works his ass off, dude. It's Hoplox.com. They do a great job. He wants to know, when did you truly feel that you had succeeded? When did you feel like, I've done it, I've made it, I'm there? Or are you not there yet? He's like, here's that first check from Triple D, baby. I got that check, and I was like, fuck y'all.
You know what? There's milestones. You know, there's definitely milestones of things that have happened. You know, it's I'll tell you one that you don't want to hear, but I think, you know, when the first product that I ever came out with that was really substantial was this Ergo Chef Knives. Yeah, I still have them. I'm in my kitchen right now. I'm in the house. I'm in the same house that I lived the entire time my kids were born.
Tell me you're using the Ergo Chef knife right now, Chef.
But it's sitting right here in my kitchen. You know, it's those kinds. It was those types of moments. Like, come on, seriously, when am I ever going to have somebody that's going to make a knife with my name on it? When do I get to put in my 2 cents of how that's going to go? You know, so there's been those types of moments, but. You know, I'll tell you something. I think what's helped me so much is I just stay who I am, and I, these little, it's kind of like how the seasons change. You know, you find the blessings right. in each part of the year, you know, and you say, and that's kind of what my career has been like is, you know, sometimes it's like make, we're doing Make-A-Wish Foundation. I have little kids and their families. I lost my sister to cancer and having little kids and their families are such fans of the show that their family's choice, the little kid's choice, they can do anything in the world. And they want to come watch me do Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
Right.
And when that is what your life becomes, and that's how you're being recognized, and that's what's important to people, and that that happens. I mean, when you, when I got that wake up, when I got that that message in life, that was a
awesome.
You're doing something right. You know, you're doing something in the right direction. Wow. You're making a difference. So I think those are the keys. I like when it gets to the making a difference. You know, I get invitations all the time from folks for their weddings. You know, I don't know who they are. And I send them a lot of times. I can't go to any of them. I send, I always send a card, you know, and say, thank you for the invite. And I think that's really sweet. And, you know, I hope you guys do, you know, and those are the kind of moments that's where you got to go, huh? So I guess these folks don't live in Santa Rosa. They're from Indiana. They're sending me an you know?
Come on, so, Chef. Come on, Chef. Look, I got to call. Come on, Chef. Like, come on. Like, I mean, look, obviously we got to be humble and I understand that that's what gets us through, but I mean, you're arguably the biggest guy that Food Network has and they know it. And, as a gentleman who goes through much of the audition process with the Food Network, all of their third party audition people know it. I mean, you go on there and do this stuff and these people, even just to get a card from you, acknowledging the fact they invited you to their wedding, bro, you're making their world, Chef.
You know what? When I was a little kid, a famous baseball player, I waited in line for an hour with my friends, and all my friends had baseballs to have signed, and because they had money. And not that we were a poor family. I just didn't have any money to buy a baseball, or maybe I didn't figure I needed a baseball, and I just had a piece of paper. So we waited in line and waited in line and waited in line, and we got there. The baseball player crumpled up my piece of paper and threw it away and said, go buy a baseball.
Ugh.
And this is a very famous player, and I don't have any reason to, you know, to say anything negative about the person. And I just remember that feeling. And so I try to make it, you know, I don't have every moment. I'm running through an airport trying to get to a flight, and somebody wants to sit there and have a long discussion about the place that I went to 7 years ago. You know, unfortunately, I can't always have those conversations. But we do fan mail. You know, I do fan mail 3 times a month, and hundreds. Hundreds. I mean, but and that's not, I mean, to me, I'm honored. I mean, what do I say? They, I mean, yes, you bet. I thank you. Thanks for watching my shows. And, you know, and a lot of military, a lot of Boy Scouts, a lot of, you know, folks that are not doing well. And it's, listen, if I'm making somebody smile, just like your show, you know, you're doing this podcast, you're taking time, you're not getting paid for, you're getting the opportunity to help promote others and recognize other people. I mean, people are going to write me, go to all that time and trouble to write me. Tell me their story, and then ask for an autograph. Yeah, you bet. You know, it'd be my pleasure. That's, you know, that's what we're supposed to do. You know, we're all supposed to support mankind, and that's why we cook. I mean, that's, I try to explain that to people all the time. I cook because I love people. You know, I started cooking. I remember when my parents were both working, and they had a small business, and you know, if I could cook, then it could help them. And you know, they would come home and dinner would be done. And I just remember that look on my parents' face when they're walking out 10 years old. They're like, you made this? And I'm like, yeah, you know, I figured it out. And we'd say that.
Wow.
I know, you know, I think some of the meals had to be horrible, but if you love people and you love mankind, you want to help out, you do it in all the ways that you can. Right.
Awesome. Yeah, absolutely, man.
Man.
Well, I
mean, honestly,
guys,
good man.
I think this is awesome. And I saw that you've had my boy Troy on there, and you've had Bo McMillan, and yeah, my boy, even Steve
buddies.
John, the Giants, the great dude who's in Barcelona right now, and
yes, he is.
And asking me great places that he's supposed to go eat. We just did a triple D over there, and I told him just to, you know, just watch the rerun.
You
got good friends. You got good
friends.
Yeah,
man, I'll tell you what.
You're good dudes, and you keep this
up. They're good dudes. And, Chef, I want to ask you if you'll do me a favor before I get you out of here. Do me a favor. Next time you see your brother, Troy Johnson, he's a good buddy of mine, a great dude. Just ask him about Fox Rocks, and that's Fox with two X's. He did in San Diego. And he'll probably fall on the floor laughing because all I did was make fun of him the entire time for Fox Rocks. He hosted a music show in San Diego. It was the greatest thing I ever heard in my life. And he told me two X's on Fox, Jeff, and I lost my mind.
Anybody that's given Troy a hard time is a buddy of mine, because Troy is, of course, one of my favorite judges on Triple G. And the guy has a world of knowledge and a ton of humor and a lot of love. And
great guy.
And buddy, his is a buddy of mine. So if you gave him a hard time, you can absolutely assure that I will rub it in.
There it is. Absolutely. Of course, Bo McMillan spent some time at Pepsi with Bo McMillan, a great guy, all in all. Chef, before I get you out of here, I'll get kicked in the nuts if I don't ask you this question. What's a brother got to do to be on Triple G Champions? I know all season one and they got new producers now, but brother, come on. Like, it's the most downloaded show on iTunes.
I would ring somebody's bell.
Seriously,
I don't know what's going on there. I mean,
it's the most downloaded episode.
Listen, and here's the beauty of it, is it wouldn't have happened. I tell everybody from the beginning seasons, it wouldn't have happened if you weren't willing to do it. Folks now can watch and they can get a little idea of what the games are like. You guys went into it blind. So listen,
I had no clue. No clue.
I think you might want to get a couple Ergo knives, you know, signed.
Yes, sir.
Send those over to Brian Lando and team over Triage. And who knows, I might be able to just drop a name or two.
Hey, we'll make that happen. Chef, I really truly appreciate your time this evening. You're an inspiration to us all. We love talking to you and having you on here. And seriously, you've been very, very inspiring to a lot of young guys. And I really appreciate that. And appreciate your time tonight, brother. I hope your ramen comes out well. And hell, I look forward to down the road. You never know what happens, you know?
You got it,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, thanks, guy.
Right, well,
thanks,
night.
Brother.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, guy. Appreciate it, brother.
There it is.
Enjoy your meal.
There it is, guy. That's Guy Fieri jumping on the podcast tonight. What a great dude. Let me get him out of here. So excited to have him. Hold on, Scotty and Mike. Hold on me. Holy shit. How'd I do? Was that all right? Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Wow.
Man, you I think That was an extra long podcast there. That was like almost 45 minutes.
Almost
45.
He gave us about 45 minutes, man. Wow. What a great guy to talk to. What a great guy to hear from.
Guy is a he is a brother from another mother. A brother from another mother. Awesome guy. You can't say enough good stuff about him. And he knows his stuff. I mean, he's in it. He's got everything from kitchen skills, knowledge, restaurant knowledge. And I mean, yeah, thank you. Thank you very much, Guy Fieri. And kudos to you, your family. Wish you guys the best and continued success for sure.
What are we doing?
Mr. Knife and Mr. Potato Show. Chef, I'm just looking forward to doing a knife skills class with you next Tuesday night at Ergo Chef. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
We're gonna crush that skills class at Ergo Chef. We certainly are. Next Tuesday night is going to be amazing. Dude, honestly, I can't thank you guys enough. And you guys know how much I tout your knives. And by the way, I used them on a segment for Channel 8 this morning. I got taped at my house that threw me behind an hour and a half all day. But I used your knives all day today in the segment, which will be airing soon.
Thank you, Plum.
But dude,
thank you,
come
Chef.
You're the man.
You're a brother from another mother too, man. When is the next jam? That's what I want to know. Because I don't know if your podcast listeners know. Do your listeners know you actually play instruments and sing?
I don't know if they know or not. Actually, I've never done it on here personally.
We'll have to rehearse a few songs and then go live. You know. The 29th is the next jam? All right. So the cat's out of the bag.
Yeah.
Oh, you're not going. Yeah, you'd be in the doghouse.
I would be. But listen, while I have you guys here on the horn, I want to point out, man, you look at a gentleman, a chef like Guy Fieri, who gets a lot of heat on social media and whatnot for what he does. But you heard him right here. And you guys have heard me talk about it in the past when I was on Grocery Games. He was super cool. We had a great time. You heard him here. Make no mistake about it and don't get it twisted. This guy is a chef. He is a bust-ass worker. He has been in this business a long damn time and worked his ass off to get to where he is. Make no mistake about it. This guy has been there and done that. Sure, you guys don't want to make fun of his catchphrases and whatnot, That's not happening over here because we're all full of positivity, and that's not happening. Because, but after you hear an interview like that, you hear him talk about the history of the business. You hear him talk about inspiring young people. To me, those are the first two lines of defining a chef. And if you don't like that, I think you're listening to the wrong show. Guy Fieri is first and foremost a chef, second, a television host. Keep that in mind as we move forward, for sure. That was like a soapbox moment, wasn't it? I got on my soapbox. Yeah.
For sure, man.
I did.
That was definitely the longest interview I think I've experienced with a celebrity like that, you know. So that's, you know, kudos.
Well,
I try to keep him short
when I talk, but sometimes I run a little long and make it long for people. I apologize. Oh, you mean with Guy? I thought you were talking about with me. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for you. Yeah. Well, thank you for listening to the Ergo podcast. And Mike and Scott here, we're going to be signing out pretty shortly. Gosh, my beer is empty. Honey, can I have another beer, please?
Holy shit.
First beer is gone.
How many beers have you had? How many beers have you had, Mike? How many beers have you had?
The whole time I was listening intently, sipping on one. So I'm a little behind.
Get the fuck out of here.
I've had 44.
you finished a bottle. You had 44. Wait, yeah. That's a 2.5 day thing on a vacation.
Yeah,
in Florida.
There you did it in 50 minutes. Podcast.
Oh, you know, podcast. Yeah.
Scotty, there's my man. There's
oh,
man.
That's
Listen,
good.
I didn't guys, talk that much the whole time, so hey. You know there was like 50 minutes, a minute and 15 seconds per beer. Do the math.
There you go.
Oh, hey, you probably designed a few new tools for the kitchen in that time.
Hey, holy shit, that's amazing. There we go. What's new, Scott? What do we got? Hey, listen.
Well, I am in my garage right now, but I'm just trying to figure out something new.
Well, good. Figure something out. Draw it on paper. Let me know what you come up with. I'll see what we can do to help out. Gentlemen, I can't thank you guys enough for helping set this up. And you guys, honestly, if you're looking for an amazing knife made by even better people, you got to check out ErgoChefKnives.com. These guys are crushing it, making incredible knives for real chefs, for real people who cook every single day, who care about food. ErgoChefKnives.com. These guys are crushing it. Mike and Scott, these are the knives that I use every single day of my life. I use them every day. I use my 7-inch Santuco the entire day today. That was the knife I used, and I made probably 47 different things. And I'm not going to get into what I made, but it was a lot. And I promise you, if you're looking for a great knife, make sure you check these guys out. ErgoChefKnives.com. Great knives made by even better people. Gentlemen, thank you so very much.
Thanks.
I can't thank you enough. Seriously,
thanks,
it means
Jeff
the world
Blum.
To you.
We appreciate it. You know, and you're a good dude, and it's something I'm going to revert back to with what Guy said. You surround yourself with good people, and
it,
you're
baby.
Good people, Chef. So we appreciate you very much. You're great, and we look forward to working with you a lot. So it's going to be.
We got some
good,
plans this summer, don't we, brother?
Teamwork coming up. We do.
Oh, we do. We do.
We do. It's going to be awesome. Right. It's going to be awesome. Big shout.
Well, thanks.
I got it. I'm sorry, guys. I got to do it. I got to look. He's chomping the bit. I've got 75 texts from this guy. Chef Kevin Levine. Chef Scatori is coming in from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Final word, Chef. Up to you.
Dude, absolutely amazing show.
He's clapping.
That was awesome. That was awesome. I hear clapping. I'm going to clap too. That was a great show.
Dude, unbelievable. Dude, he is dying
wow.
like down to earth, man.
How could you not like him after hearing that interview? How could you ever question it? He's an amazing dude.
He is so down to earth. Holy shit.
Yep. 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 What a great guy, man.
So cool.
And to come on a show like this, you know, was just amazing and sit here and talk to me. But, brother, that couldn't have happened without the magic of Ergo Chef Knives and my friends Scott and Mike making that happen, man. I appreciate you guys. Thank you very much. I know that my man Chef Kevin loves your knives, and it was awesome.
Yeah, it was good.
Great.
Thank you guys for hearing
me. It was awesome. Yep. Had a great time, buddy. Thanks.
Thanks,
Chef.
Very cool.
There you go. All right. There goes Chef Kevin Levine on down the road.
Appreciate
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have an after show happening on Stationhead. That's hashtag on Stationhead. Send me a direct message if you want in. I'll send you a link. We'll get you in, and we'll do a half an hour on there talking about the interview. We got to get Mike and Scott, Ergo Chef, on Stationhead, but they got to get rid of those damn Androids before they can get them on, because it's only on iPhones, ladies and gentlemen. Only on the iPhones. We got to get you on there. But we'll make it happen. In 2 months, we're going to be all ready for Android. I promise you, 2 months. And I tell you what, we did a pre-show tonight on the way home, and Stationhead is the way to go. But, gentlemen, I can't thank you enough for your time. I want to keep you on while I do this outro, because Guy quoted the outro, and I'm not going to lie to you, that made me well up a little bit when he quoted my outro. When he's on the
he did.
I mean, dude. And then I mean, what I saved there, I mean from the bottom of my heart, and having Guy say that to me and you guys on the phone here meant the world to me. And so, and by the way, let's make a push. Let's get your boy back on freaking Guy's Grocery Games Champions. Are you kidding me? Like, come on. I was the second champion on the show, the most downloaded show on iTunes. Scotty, Mike, I'm telling you, I'm not lying. It's the most downloaded episode on iTunes. How the fuck am I not on there?
How are you not? You should. That should be a no-brainer.
You got to figure that one out, man.
Who's in charge of that?
We got to figure that out. But ladies and gentlemen, for my friends, Mike and Scott from Ergo Chef Knives, my name is Chef Plum. And ladies and gentlemen, please remember, food is one of the most important things that we have in life. Everything important in life revolves around food. Let's make sure we give it the time that it deserves. We'll see you next week. Big shout out to Ergo Chef Knives. Thank you, gentlemen. Peace. Peace. I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees.
Wow. Run away if you see me.